Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey there, I'm Guy Fieri, and we're rolling out. Looking for
Sports Talk Saturday.
This trip, get it on there. We're kicking it into high gear. Wild, ridiculous, and out of control.
On WGR.
So I'm here in Nashville, Tennessee. Gotta love it. I mean, killer barbecue, great music.
A season of COVID.
Want to talk to Nate Geary?
They haven't been in their building in almost 2 weeks. They're ready to go. In fact, they're on call. Players, coaches, you know, they feel like they're in a tough spot. They just want to get back to normalcy, I'm told. So, you know, they thought things would taper off midweek. They had gotten two consecutive days of no positives. Didn't quite get it done. Got more bad news, but they're hoping to get a rebound right now.
That brings the number of positive tests since late September to 23 positive tests. The Titans facility remains closed. There's a ban on in-person workouts for the team that was captured on video September 30th, working out together at a local high school.
That's all right here, right now, on
Sports Talk Saturday. WGR 550.
How do I move forward? I mean, what a weekend, what a Saturday that the sporting world has given me. A Yankee loss, okay? A game being moved to Tuesday, okay? Just kidding on the Sabres. I was going to say I thought they were going to give me something to talk about, but that's just a joke. I got Brayton Wilson to talk about it at 1 o'clock because I'm not going to talk about it. What else? The Yankees lost. I think that's a good place to start. The Yankees lost. We had a minor 3-hour segment of our day that was distracted by the tale of mustard versus mayo, which, by the way, because of that, it inspired a BLT that I made myself for dinner. And when I say I want to be careful when I'm on the radio, because if my girlfriend's listening, I didn't make it for myself. My girlfriend made it for me for dinner. So when I say when I made a BLT, it just means that I had eaten one. I had consumed the final product of it. It was my idea, though.
Okay.
So that counts for something.
So you placed the order.
I placed the order. And instead of mayo, which sometimes I'll go like the Italian dressing route or something just to bring the... is liquidity the right word to use here?
Absolutely
just
not.
To bring the moistness of the sandwich up a notch.
Fine.
But instead of doing that, we were really just kind of knee deep in this mustard mayo talk. I remembered I got this delicious mild banana pepper infused, so like a sweet mustard.
Okay.
Oh man, putting that on with a little pepper, black pepper, bacon. Oh.
Ooh. Listen,
ooh.
You're allowed to explore the flavor space.
I did explore it.
If you're innovating in like a standard sandwich, but you are recognizing you're innovating, I think that's fine. So like
it's not deconstructed BLT where there's bacon as bread.
Right.
You're
not trying to say like, no, the only, you should only use this.
Correct.
This is the replacement for that.
That's
no,
right.
You're not saying that. You're just trying something else, which is totally fine. But when people start showing up online and saying, maybe just use mayo instead of butter, it's like, get that Iowa crap out of here.
Right.
Get on the 90 and drive for a day and a half.
That's right.
And then get out.
Go back to the Midwest. No one asked you about your mayo grilled cheese. And then a guy had the nerve to tell me that, oh, I know better because I've had 6 grilled cheeses this week.
That's an El Asico take. I don't want it.
That's like saying, well, I want to talk about the Sabres. I watched 2.5 hours of highlights this week.
Listen, I respect somebody with extraordinarily dangerous cholesterol levels telling me they know about very bad food for them. Like, I want to respect that level of expertise.
What a day. What a day we had yesterday on the online. The sporting world is not stopping, which is great, right? We've got a lot going on in the sporting world, and this weekend should be a doozy. Obviously, the Bills game tomorrow, we won't be here. It's going to be weird. This is going to be the first Sunday in some time I won't be spending right here in this seat that I'm in right now talking into this exact microphone. So it's going to be a little weird. Teron Davenport of ESPN, he's going to join us at 11:30. He is meeting with the Titans media, and Mike Vrabel will speak to the media as the Titans facilities are officially open for business today. So we're going to get you a live report right from Titans camp to get you caught up with what's going on, which players they're expecting to have available to them, which is kind of its own side story now that we know games are going to be played, and it's going to be played on Tuesday night. By the way, it will be a national broadcast. So the Bills are obviously going to lose out in their Thursday night matchup against Kansas City. There is rumors that it's potentially being moved to Sunday night. So we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. That game has not exactly been set in stone yet. I think a lot of the league was waiting for whether or not the positive tests would continue for Tennessee, and then they'd have to make tougher decisions. As of right now, no tougher decisions are needed. The Tennessee Titans and Buffalo Bills will play Tuesday unless more tests just come down in the next day, but there are several indicating factors that say the Bills and Titans will go on as currently scheduled, which is on Tuesday night. Let's go to the Wester hotline now because it's our normal Saturday morning meetup here with Sal Capaccio. Good morning, Sal. How are you?
Pretty good, man. How are you? Yeah, seems a little weird suddenly not to have a game on Sunday, but here we are.
Weird for not having a game Sunday. There's a lot going on in the sporting world. I think, you know, a good place to start, Sal, is I have the feeling that for the most part, if you're the Bills, I think you're relieved a little bit to know that you've got a schedule that you can put on paper and start preparation for. And then there's probably a part of them, and I would say maybe more coaches than players, that are disappointed, that are upset that they're now going to have a modified schedule for the following week, which, not to say that this team's looking forward or looking past this Titans game for the Kansas City Chiefs game, but, you know, I do think that that's something that everyone, I know fans are really kind of looking back and saying, well, now the Chiefs are getting extra time and the Bills aren't to prepare for that that game, and that's obviously one of the big games that everyone kind of circled on their schedule. So what do you think? I mean, at this point, I know they're probably relieved the game is happening and they know when it's going to happen, but I'm sure the mixing up of the schedule can't sit greatly with the Bills.
You know, I think in the big scheme of things, when you plan for a season, I think that's right, Nate. We're like, okay, we know when we're going to play the Titans, when we're going to play the Chiefs, and so on. Like, I think in the grand scheme of things, but we all know what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean are all about. And, you know, as someone who's, you know, embedded with the team every day, pretty much covering them for, you know, since they've arrived here, I can tell you, those are the kinds of things that they don't try to worry about. They just stay focused on every day, and they really do. And then I know that's a cliche, control what you can control. I understand that, but they truly live that. And as much as there's a lot of moving parts here, for them it's about, okay, what's next tomorrow? What's next for what we have to do? Let's go drill to drill. Let's go practice to practice. Let's go day to day. And that truly is. So I don't think that that's creeping into what they're thinking. I think big picture, sure. Hey, you know, we had a chance to be Thursday night against the Chiefs. Alan Mahomes, you know, maybe a player thinks like that, whatever. Now they get this whole Tuesday night spot to themselves, you know what I mean? So it's in prime time. I think from a fan's perspective, there's so much more of that. Oh, it's unfair here, disadvantage there. Look, I mean, would any Bills fan be complaining today if the Titans game was canceled and the Bills got 11 days to prep for the Chiefs and the Chiefs only had 4? Like, that could have been a possibility.
Right.
Bills fans weren't saying how unfair that would be to Kansas City. So I think you just have to take the word fair and kind of throw it out right now. Take the word advantage or disadvantage, kind of throw it out and just say, look, there's going to be a lot of adjustment going on this year, and whatever it is, it is. And I think from everything I know about Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott and the way they run their program and the way they coach their guys, that's the way that they think, which is, hey, don't worry about all that stuff. What do we know? What we know is we have a game on Tuesday. Let's prepare. Then after that, we have a game on, let's say, Sunday. We prepare. That's how they're going to approach every single day.
Yeah, I've got to imagine, Sal, that the word fair probably isn't even in Sean McDermott's vocabulary. But I do think there is a level of fairness that at least should have some light shined upon it. And the area that I guess I'm talking about is a team like the Bills, who I give them credit because they've really walked the line. They've done everything that you could ask of an NFL team to do to keep their players, keep the organization safe, and it's not their fault that now the game schedule is modified. It's one of their opponent's fault. And I guess if you look at it from that perspective, that's where I'm going to give at least a little bit of credence to a Bills fan that says, hey, well, what the heck? But at the same time, Sal, I think your point is spot on. Like, the Bills, Sean McDermott isn't standing up in front of the team feeling sorry for themselves and talking about how unfair this is. They're just going to take it how it goes.
And that's right. And look, the NFL is a soap opera. That's what it is. I mean, we all kind of tune in for all the drama, you know, that goes along with it, whether that's players or coaches or teams or firings or, you know, Ian Rappaport being suspended for crying out loud, right?
Right.
Whatever that's about, right? I mean, the NFL is a soap opera. That's what it is. So for fans, I totally get it. Like, that's where that's what we do for a living. That's what you're going to do today. You're going to talk about it. There's nothing wrong with that. But I will tell you that the Bills aren't thinking that way. You know, from what I would know about them and how they go about things, they're thinking about winning the next game, which is Tuesday night against the Tennessee Titans. And yes, you're right, Nate. I think the one thing is we can all be mad at the Titans because of this. Look, I'm mad at the Titans because I'm doing my part to try and make sure that we can get through this season. Everybody who covers a team is, everybody who's a broadcaster, everybody who's in football side of things, operations, you know, front offices, coaches, people are basically trying to do whatever they can to make sure they don't screw it up for everyone else. And here we have seemingly some players who may have screwed it up for everyone else, or at least an organization or people or whatever. That from what we know, there's an investigation saying that, right? So I think for anybody to be upset at them, I would understand that because you don't want to be that team. Now, all of that said, let's remember something. If you're in Pittsburgh or Baltimore or another city today, you're not even really thinking that much or talking about it. It's really a story because it's Buffalo and it's us. Because I've heard so many people, how are they going to get through the rest of the season? It's one team. It really is one team. Yes, it was a big deal, but it was way more of a big deal here because the Bills were directly impacted. But around the league, like, they don't have to start pausing things or doing anything. It's literally one team that was put in this position.
Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline. We're talking Bills-Titans, obviously game getting moved to Tuesday. So if you're tuning in tomorrow and you live under a rock and you don't hear pregame, well, this is why. So this is obviously, Sal, too. One of the things that I guess I always think about, especially with NFL teams, is they're sort of all creatures of habit. And I wonder what this game, do we see a sloppier matchup for both teams? I mean, this is going to be the first time in double-digit days. Are we talking almost 14 full days for the Tennessee Titans? I know it's at least 12 before they're going to be on the field to even be able to practice together. Not to mention, Sale, I think we're going to learn within the next hour from the Tennessee Titans who is and who isn't going to be able to play. I mean, they're going to have a ton of roster decisions to make. What are you expecting of quality of play from this game, considering there is just so much modification for it?
It's a great question. I don't know, because you're right. We're going to find out from the Tennessee side of things, first of all. And then the question, too, would be, could they have a guy come off COVID before the game? Maybe he's on the list. The way it works is if you're on the COVID-19 list, you can't play. You can't be around your team. But if you're asymptomatic and you have two negative tests separated by at least 24 hours, you can be taken off that list. So they could have a guy on the list today that might not be on the list and could play on Tuesday. So there's a lot of moving parts there. As of right now, they're going to have a pretty depleted roster from even some really good players. But those guys, several of them, could be back by Tuesday. We don't know about that. And then we'll even know from the Bills side of things. They're holding a walkthrough today. There's no media. We're going to get the official injury report game status from the Bills as well. Tre'Davious White, you know, he's missed a couple days of practice. Andre Roberts has missed a couple days of practice. So there's still a lot up in the air about who's going to be available on both sides of things. But you're right about Tennessee. Kind of, we don't know. There's a lot of balls juggling in the air. And then as far as the practice stuff you brought up, even Micah Hyde said, you know, the NFL's fraternity. They have friends and people they know on the Titans. And those guys are like, hey, I'm going to have to play a game here without practicing for 2 weeks. Like, they're concerned even about their own conditioning and safety as far as that. And I think it's a very valid concern. No matter whose fault you want to say this is or whatever, you know, that's really something the league has to think about when they shut these facilities down.
Yeah, and you know, Sal, this is a separate note, but there's reports today from RotoWorld that, like, Cam Newton has a chance to be able to return this week to play. And, you know, I know that for the most part when the league decided they were moving forward to play the season as it stands, that they really kind of put a lot of the procedure and protocol in the hands of these individual teams. There are some, you know, league mandates and league protocols, but for the most part, they've sort of punted the responsibility of putting these protocols together to the teams. And, you know, I think if you're a player, you know, seeing a player, at least this is what I thought. I thought if you're a guy that tests positive, that you're automatically missing at least two games.
No.
And I guess for me, it just... explain that better to me, Sal. If I'm under that impression, I'm not the only one. I saw somebody with a blue check mark say the same thing.
No. This is what you guys get for not paying attention to things I write back in late August before the camp starts. And I'm just kidding because there's so much obviously to it. But yeah, this is what happened when they did the CBA modifications and things like that. One of the things that they brought up was the COVID-19 list and rules. And basically what it is, and I have to remember exactly now, Nate, because I went over it, you know, in depth at the time, but here's basically from what I can remember off the top of my head. If a player tests positive for COVID-19, he goes on the COVID-19 reserve list. There is no minimum at all that he has to be on there. All he has to do, again, as I said a little earlier, is test negative two times, separated by 24 hours. Once that happens, he can come back on. If he does miss a game, the team basically gets a roster exemption for him until he comes back. If he misses more than four games, I think it's four or more games, the team gets a two-week roster exemption. If it's three or less, they still get a one-week roster exemption, provided he has already missed a game. So that's just for the roster part. But for the player himself, they can come back. They literally can be on the list for like 3 days and then come back and play. As long as they test negative two times, if they're asymptomatic and test negative two times separated by 24 hours.
Well, perfect. Thank you, Sal, for that explanation. Sal, let's move a little bit into the game plan against this Tennessee Titans team on Tuesday. Obviously, we're going to have a couple more days to talk about this, but you know, with it being a few days out, one of the things that I've sort of been really, at least early on in the season with the Tennessee Titans, and we'll talk more about them next half hour with Teron Davenport of ESPN, who's going to join us and talk. But, you know, one of the things I've noticed about this Titans team, Sal, is up front, and this might be who ends up not being able to play might really play a factor into my thoughts about this matchup against this Titans defensive line, but they bring on Jadeveon Clowney. Jeffrey Simmons is one of the best young defensive linemen in football. He is on the COVID list. Whether or not he's available to play on Tuesday, I'm not sure. But like, when I look at the strength of this Titans team, I definitely am looking at the defensive backfield, Sale, and the defensive line. However, they really, if you look at the numbers through their first three games, they're not playing particularly well together as a unit, even though they're a team full of a ton of really good defensive players.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's it kind of doesn't match up with what you think of them, right? Isn't that weird? Like, you kind of think about this big physical team that's going to pound at you and stop the run, and they're going to play that brand of football. It kind of hasn't really borne out like that this year. You know, they do have Ryan Tannehill still playing well. I'm a real big fan of their offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith. I think Arthur Smith does a great job of, you know, putting them in a position to really maximize what talent they have. But you're right. I think this could be a game where Devin Singletary could really have a lot of success because they have not stopped the run very well. And if they're going to be missing several key parts on the defensive side, especially up front, you know, that might be the way to go. But here's the thing. I thought that last week about the game against the Raiders. But here the Bills go, and they activate six wide receivers and still throw it around the yard. You know what I mean? That's their identity now. I know that might be the way statistically to attack them, and you would think about that game planning-wise, and maybe the Bills do. But I think it looks like to me, Nate, that the Bills have really kind of committed to this identity of being a spread offense and throwing the football around and using the run as really more of a complement to that.
So, Sal, one of the nice things about this extended little, I guess, break or downtime that the Bills are going to get is there is a couple of players that are hobbled. I think most notably the video a lot of us saw during practice this week of John Brown kind of coming up lame on what looked like a standard route. It looks like he's been having some problems with that calf. Do you expect this layover to give him and a guy like Zach Moss, too, who's missed some time because of a lower body injury, to maybe get the time necessary to be as close to 100% or be able to play on Tuesday?
Yeah, very, very lower body injury, as low as you can go, right in the toe. And we know that, you know, that could be something for a running back that's really challenging to come back right from. Of course, the more time to rehab and get ready, you know, if this game was on Sunday, you would think, is Tre'Davious White going to be ready? Is John Brown going to be ready? But I would think so, Nate. I would think that, you know, they at least would give them a couple days. But we don't know. Again, the last time we were out there, that's when we saw the John Brown video, and then yesterday they didn't practice, but they gave an estimated injury report. Today, like I said, we won't be out there, but we will know. We will know, at the very least, I guess, as much as we can. They might say questionable for a guy like John Brown, you know, but we'll know today if anybody's declared out a little bit later today. The Bills will have to put out their final injury report. They'll also have to have, by 4 p.m. today, by the way, they'll also have to make any roster transactions for the weekend. I believe that's still the case, even though it is Tuesday, and there's so many weird things going on. But I think they still would have to do that by 4 p.m. today, which means that if they want to bring anybody up from the practice squad, which might give you an indication, by the way, depending on if right. they do that, who might be available and who might not be for the game, because they get those two free call-ups if they choose every week. So, yeah, I would think that this week, you know, but then you have a challenge because you're still only getting less days before the Kansas City game. Now, normally it would be a Sunday game and then 4 days rest, 3 days, I guess. Now it's a Tuesday and maybe 4 days rest. We don't know. So maybe that at least helps them get a little healthier. But there are definitely some concerns on the Bills' side here.
Sal, you know, one of the guys that I think is most intriguing to talk about on the Bills' offense is Devin Singletary. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are, because I feel like, especially over the last 2 weeks, Sal, this offense, not that they didn't have their stride in the first two games where, I mean, the offense was putting up remarkable numbers, but it was against the Jets and Dolphins. And I think over the last 2 weeks against better opponents, this Bills team has really found its stride, at least in my opinion, efficiency-wise. It just seems like they're a well-oiled machine. How do you, when you're Brian Daboll, balance that, knowing that your offense, especially the run game, has looked a little bit more efficient with Devin Singletary in, when you're also trying to get reps for your rookie running back?
I don't even worry about the reps. You know what I mean? It's not about that anymore. At some point, he's going to get them. You know, whether Devin Singletary has a few bumps and bruises and you got to get him in there, or whether it's a game plan thing, you need a little more physicality from the running back spot, at some point, Zach Moss is going to have to carry the football a little bit. And Brian Daboll could not have it, to me, in his mind of, I need to give him the football. This is about winning games now. You know, the time for that is preseason. Time for that is training camp. Maybe the time for that is when you're up by 20 points in the fourth quarter, if you ever get a chance, or down by 20, you know, in the fourth quarter and it's late or whatever. I mean, those are the times to do things like that. And I'll go back to what I said earlier. I think, you know, this is an identity now for this team. We're going to spread it. Now, the Bills still, as you know, Nate, they run more 3 and 4 wide receiver sets than anybody in the league this year, which is amazing to say, but you see why. They have Stephon Diggs and John Brown and Cole Beasley and now Gabriel Davis. And I think Isaiah McKenzie has really done a nice job when he's been on the field, right? I think he's kind of been a forgotten man, but he's done a really nice job in a lot of different areas, including blocking for as small as he is. So I think they're going to continue with that. And when Zach Moss gets his opportunities, he gets his opportunities. But you cannot think going into a game, I need to get Zach Moss on the field. He's not a difference maker at this point. You know, hopefully down the road he is. And I think he's a nice complimentary piece. But he's not a difference maker that you have to make sure he gets his touches.
Sal, last thing before I let you go. I watched the entire Yankee game yesterday. And usually I don't really like even watching them, but I honestly thought it was one of the best 2-1 games that I've ever probably watched in terms of just a baseball game, especially one that I don't really have a I wasn't really rooting for either team. I don't really like Tampa Bay either. But I mean, watching Gerrit Cole in that game absolutely dominate the first half of that baseball game. I just this is a serious question. I just don't know what else the Yankees can do if they can't win with that lineup and Gerrit Cole pitching as well as he did yesterday. I just, like, I don't know how you can't get more than one run in that game. I know the Tampa Bay Rays had a it reminds me a lot of the 2015 Royals, where all they're asking for their starter to do is get to 3.5-4 innings and just give it to the bullpen because it's their best and most, their best asset. I just don't know if you're a Yankee fan. It's got to be tough because it's just like, what else do you do? Because you had the best pitcher in the game, you clearly had the best offensive lineup, and you still only mustered up one run.
It's a good question. I don't know what they can do. And it's frustrating. Now, look, I will give the Rays a lot of credit. They have really good pitching. They have a really good lineup. Their entire roster is just so – it's really diverse. They have so many different ways to attack you with speed and power and all that kind of stuff. And they're just very good. But their pitching staff, they have like four guys that can get to 97, 98 miles an hour,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's tough.
Now, I'll give them credit. It's just like kind of like the Bills and Rams. Like, oh, how can the Bills let that happen? Well, the Rams are good. You know what I mean? Like, they have really good weapons, and you can't just stop them all the time. But – all of that said, I will not sit here and make an excuse as a Yankees fan. They pay a lot of money every year. They have an incredible lineup. There is no excuse not to score more runs. They have to. That is just on them. It is just a I don't know what else you can do other than put those guys in line. It's on them. It's in their feast or famine. How many times have we seen them score 10 runs in a game, right, or something like that?
Right.
And then we also see them kind of get shut down. I give the Rays a lot of credit, but – yeah, I'm mad. I'm kind of mad at some decisions Aaron Boone made. But at the end of the day, you got to hit the baseball, man. And they just didn't hit the baseball. And I've never been a big fan of the Stanton trade. Although I thought he played well this series. He hit home runs in the playoffs. He had a good playoffs overall. Never a big fan of that trade. I like the way the Rays have gone about and built their team, but I'd still take the Yankees, you know, hitting lineup. And yet here we are, and they only scored one run. So give the Rays credit, but it's frustrating for sure.
The crazy thing is, Sal, is their one run came out.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On like a miss from Judge. Like he just right. Muscled the ball out of the park in the shortest area of the park. Otherwise, it was really impressive to watch that entire staff. I mean, credit to that Rays organization. A lot of those guys, if you're a normal baseball fan, you don't watch a ton of baseball outside of your team, you may not recognize a lot of those names on the Rays, but they sure as hell don't care whether or not you recognize their name, because they play the kind of baseball that this time of year, it doesn't matter what your payroll is, how much your starting pitchers are making, all that stuff goes out the window. And to your point, I think it was a good game by the Rays. Not a lot you could be mad about. Sorry to bring it up, Sale, but
and I knew you were going to bring it up. And don't you lie. You know you were rooting against him. You hate him so much. Don't tell me you didn't have a rooting interest.
I actually really don't like the Rays at all. So it was actually, I felt a little dirty watching that game and rooting for the Rays. But, I mean, at the end of the day.
It would have been a way better story, though, if the Yankees against Astros, right?
Agreed.
No matter what you get against the Dodgers is a great story. Yankees, Dodgers, or Astros, Dodgers, because of what happened. But
here's the thing, Sal. I might have actually found myself slightly rooting for the Yankees if the Astros Yankees game was going to happen.
Well, I have a lot of friends that are Rays fans. We were at a text thread last night. I was yelling at them and swearing at them. and I told them, I said, I will give you guys the next series. I will root for the Rays, but I don't think I will against whoever they play in the NL.
Yeah.
So I'll do that because it is the Stros. But after that, I think my Rays rooting interest is done after the ALCS.
All right, my friend, enjoy the day, lick your wounds, and get ready for spring training. It's all you can do.
All right, man. Talk to you.
Awesome. Sal Capaccio there on the Western Hotline. Quick timeout. Teron Davenport of ESPN, he covers the Tennessee Titans, is going to join us next. We're going to kind of get the lowdown. Mike Vrabel meets with the media in a half hour. So Teron is joining us before Coach Vrabel sits down with the media. So we're going to learn more within the next hour, but Teron can set the stage for us coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.
Griselda.
All right, gang, welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. Nate Geary hanging out with you for the next few hours or so. It is a Saturday unlike most in the middle of October. There is no Bills game on Sunday due to our COVID protocols, and the Bills and Titans are now scheduled to play Tuesday night, which it'll be a national broadcast. So entering now on the Western Hotline is my man, Teron Davenport of ESPN, covering the Tennessee Titans. Teron, good morning to you, my friend.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Hey, no complaints on my end, man. Other than we get a Sunday off, which is very unusual for October in and out of bye week. So I won't complain too much. I'm going to get a couple of at least one golf round in the middle of October on a Sunday. That doesn't happen too often here in Buffalo. So I won't complain too much on that front. But, you know, there is seemingly, Teron, a lot of questions from Bills fans sort of wondering what the heck is going on, right? Like, we know the game is now set in stone, at least as long as no additional tests come back positive over the next 2 days. But the Tennessee Titans are going to open their facilities today. That's right?
The facilities are open right now.
So facilities are open. What does that mean for the rest of the team? So they can come back, they can start practicing, they can start their meetings and their preparation for the Bills. But for the most part, Teron, this is a team that's going to be entering game situation without practicing as a team formally for almost 2 weeks. Is there like a concern about conditioning at this point? It's midseason. A lot of these guys miss a couple of days. I wouldn't expect it to really, really affect them. But I mean, with everything going on, I think there is a lot of fans wondering, like, is this going to put the Titans in a tough spot?
Oh, it of course puts them in a tough spot. And yeah, guys, it's week five, right? And guys are in good shape, but you also have to maintain that conditioning, maintain that shape that you're in, and not being there to actually practice. That's a tough thing. And it makes it a lot harder for the players to be in the proper shape that they need to be in. And this is why you have some of the reports about the various workouts that came out. Guys understand that they have to get their work in and to get prepared for a game. So without a doubt, they're in a tough spot. And in addition to that, I mean, you have to go through and visually see the things that are being asked of you to do on game day. And it's not as simple as just watching film and then going out there and playing.
Right.
There's a classroom learning and an on-the-field learning.
So, Teron, with everything obviously that happened this week in the news and on social media, I definitely felt from my perspective that some of the tweets that we got from players responding to some of the reports that they were against protocols, meeting as a team and holding outdoor practices, and I felt that some of the tweets that we saw from players like Roger Saffold and A.J. Brown and a few other players as well, they came off a little disingenuous and they came off a little ignorant a little. And I'm wondering kind of what your take is on that, because I know that won't end up being the story. The story is not going to be the reaction from some of the players. But, you know, part of this story, Teron, is that, you know, they had players test positive, and the league has put protocols in place to try to mitigate the need to move games like we're seeing. Because at the end of the day, Teron, what we're talking about is billions of dollars. I love the idea that we're trying to keep families of players safe and coaches safe. But let's be honest, Teron. At the end of the day, this is about the bottom line for the NFL. And if you're going to hurt the bottom line, if you're going to hurt their money, then that's really where punishment is going to ultimately come down. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are this week about some of the response we saw from players and whether or not you think the league is going to come down pretty hard on this Titans team.
Well, to be honest, I don't know that the tweets and the responses came off as disingenuous, because to their understanding, they weren't violating protocol. Mm-hmm. To their understanding, having the workout on the 30th wasn't violating protocol. So I think disingenuous is probably, and this is just my opinion, I
sure,
wouldn't use that word, but at the same time, there are protocols in place. There are things that have to happen in order for this virus to keep from spreading the way it did. We're talking about 23 positive tests in a matter of, you know, 2 weeks, you know, dating back to September 24th. So something went wrong, but I don't think it's up to the players to know exactly what went wrong. At the same time, I think a lot of this is a rush to judgment. We really don't know. There was an investigation, and it's just typical of what we have in this day and age where you're guilty until proven innocent. And I'm not here to absolve the Titans of any wrongdoing, because I'll be honest with you, that workout was wrong as rain. Mm-hmm. You know, not because of protocols. I think it was wrong just because of you're in the middle of an outbreak in your facility. But that being said, to their knowledge, they didn't violate protocol. So there's a lot to sort through with this whole thing. And you're 100% right. There is a bottom line here, and the almighty dollar. That's what it's all about with this league. And I think the best example of that was the Chiefs and Patriots still playing on Monday despite a player on both sides testing positive.
Teron Davenport here on the Wester Hotline from ESPN. Teron, I want to talk a little bit about this Titans game sort of move away from a lot of what, obviously, this is what everyone has had to talk about. You know, it's been a difficult week because football is what we talk, and unfortunately, we really haven't been able to do a lot of that. And, you know, one of the things that I think is most intriguing about this matchup, Teron, is you and I have... You've been on this show for two straight years now. This is something that, you know, the Bills might as well be in the same division as Tennessee. They play a lot, and they tend to be, Teron, pretty important games by the time the end of the season comes around. And, you know, for the last 2 years, you and I have been going back and forth about, is Marcus Mariota the quarterback of the future? Is he going to be done? When are they making the move? And now, you know, you and I are talking about a quarterback that is pretty widely considered on the top half of the league, in some cases the top 10, the way he's been playing over the last year, and the last calendar year anyways. You know, what do you make? I mean, it's going to be hard to know what this Titans team is going to be after the break or after their layoff here, but both teams undefeated, 3-0 versus 4-0. This has got to be, of the last few years, Teron, maybe the most anticipated Bills-Titans matchup that we've seen, considering the last few years have been basically, well, the Titans missed five field goals, Tyrod Taylor was running on, you know, one leg, and there's just been a lot of weird storylines. The one that we haven't had is two undefeated teams that could really be considered some of the best in the AFC.
Right, and I think the big difference this go round is offense. People love seeing that scoreboard have a lot of points on it, and both teams are scoring a lot of points, so it's the sexy style of football, not the ugly backyard fight style that these two teams typically offer. And to be honest, I love that style.
Yep.
I love the strategic one play has such a huge factor in the outcome. I love that type. But at the same time, these are two teams that are just at peak position, and these are two quarterbacks that I think are really playing outstanding football. Ryan Tannehill, he's spreading the football around very well. He's very decisive. You see him throwing the ball into tight windows that most quarterbacks wouldn't. You also see him pushing the ball down the field with tremendous accuracy. He's playing really good football. Statistically, it's okay, right? It's not top-notch, but they have done really well on third downs. They've done really well getting into the red zone. Now, on the other side, you got Josh Allen, who, in my opinion, is an MVP candidate right now. 12 touchdowns to one interception is outstanding football, and it's just amazing what happens when you get a number one receiver like the Bills did in getting Stephon Diggs. And that guy right there is ultra dynamic, and he's huge for that passing game. And it's one of those things where a player coming aboard really helped elevate everyone else's play.
Isn't it funny, Teron? I mean, maybe there's no two better examples in football today than Josh Allen and Ryan Tannehill about the importance of surrounding your quarterback with competency at the coaching position and the wide receiver position. And I also will make a point. I think both offensive lines are sneaky underrated. They do their job, and they don't get a ton of praise. They're not going to show up on PFF's top grades of the week. They're not going to be, you know, the best offensive line unit award, trench trophy at the end of the day. Like, no one's going to be talking about either of these units when they say the best offensive lines in football. Having said that, they do their job, and they don't get talked a lot about it. And I guess for me, Teron, the thing that maybe becomes most important is you see Tannehill go from Gase to this system with Arthur Smith. And I'll say this. The Tennessee Titans may not play the sexiest brand of offensive football, but they have a winning formula, and they do it the right way. And I think both teams, at the end of the day, are going to be really good examples of what your quarterback can be if they're surrounded by competent pieces.
Yeah, for sure. And it's really an example that you see in a few teams. And, you know, you see the opposite example in others. Right?
Right.
Everybody makes the excuse for Sam Darnold, right? Oh, he doesn't have a Hall of Famer at receiver, and the offensive line isn't giving him 10 seconds to throw, so how could he be good? It's interesting, the dynamic, you know, but then you talk about Washington, and it's just Dwayne Haskins' fault, and that's it.
Right.
That's a different conversation.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you are right. You're seeing on both sides just an example of how a solid system – comfort, confidence, and really good players around you can make quarterbacks better. And that's there. I don't think there are really two better examples than Josh Allen and Ryan Tannehill.
Teron, before I let you go, last thing I want to talk to you about is this Titans defense. On paper, man, they're a scary unit. Like, if I was an offensive coordinator, if I'm Brian Daboll, like, the pieces that I see along that defensive line and in that defensive backfield, they're keeping me up at night about how I keep my quarterback upright. Having said that, on paper, the skill is there. And we don't know with COVID and the protocols whether or not a guy like Jeffrey Simmons is going to be available for Tuesday. He was on the COVID list last time I checked. With that all being said, what is it that isn't leading this defense to be as good in the stat sheet as they are on paper?
In my opinion, the problem is the rush defense. And I asked Coach Vrabel about that, and he said three things. He said, we're not setting the edge, we're not setting a wall, and we're not swarming. And he said, that's going to be my answer to every single question that we have about run defense. And you see it in games. You look at the Jaguars game in week two, the Vikings game in week three. There were seams right there at the line of scrimmage allowing the running backs to poke through. And sometimes they're able to bounce it outside, and then other times they just simply break a tackle and they're in the second level and they're off and running. So those three things that Coach Vrabel mentioned are really the problem. They gave up 226 yards rushing to the Vikings, and I want to say 165 yard rushing to the Jaguars. These are numbers that it's going to be tough to win with that, and that's why their games have been so close. So they can't allow that to continue to happen. That's the issue for the defense. You mentioned Jeffrey Simmons. If, and that's a big if because it's unknown, if he was asymptomatic, there is a chance that he could play on Tuesday. But at the same time, when you look at it, they haven't worked out for he specifically, you know, hasn't been able to do much since his positive test. And then in addition to that, you have other concerns.
Yeah.
You have to make sure the conditioning is right. You have to make sure the cardiovascular health is right. This isn't something that just comes in and you get rid of it like a cold. It can have long-term ramifications, so you have to have a ramp-up period time. But if he's not playing, that makes things a lot easier for Buffalo because they like to use a NASCAR package with Simmons and Jadeveon Clowney in the middle, Harold Landry on one side, Vic Beasley on the other, and that's something that has been able to be successful for them when they played the Vikings. So that's a problem. And then on top of that, Christian Fulton may not play. He's in the same boat as Jeffrey Simmons, so there's a lot that could actually change the way this Titans defense looks. So there's either way, Brian Daboll has done an awesome job. I really commend him for how he's used crossing routes and just how he's just used empty sets too. You take Singletary and you put him out and he goes in motion and you run patterns off of that, and they're a tough team to stop. So I don't think they're worried at all about whoever's on the other side of the football. I sense in watching them that arrogance and that confidence to say, you know what, bring what you got. What we have is better, and we're going to show you at the end of the game. That's really the way I feel about Buffalo, especially the offense, when watching them.
You know, Teron, before I let you go, this was something I was actually interested in picking your brain on. Last week, I thought the Raiders took a little bit of a Belichick page out of their book. They actually, we watched, after I watched the All-22, I saw them sort of flip-flop their defensive tackles and defensive ends, whether that they started at their position and then looped around during the pass rush, but they essentially put their defensive tackles on the outside, forcing Josh Allen to play from the pocket, so Josh Allen couldn't beat them as a runner. And I think we're at the point, Teron, though, where I don't think we can do that with Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen's proving that he's elite and can be elite from the pocket, which has got to scare teams because we already know he's elite when he's running the football. How do you balance that if you're a defensive coordinator?
You just have to have a very disciplined pass rush. And you mentioned the stunts. These are things that we have seen happen. And when you have those stunts, the TE stunts, where the tackle loops outside, or he'll crash first and the DN will loop inside, one or the other. You have to make sure that whoever is that looper on the outside is containing, or you have to have another corner blitz to contain. And that's something that the Titans actually did against the Ravens. But more importantly, I think really it's just, like I said, disciplined pass rush. You have to make sure that you're staying in your rushing lanes. You don't want to give up the seam for the quarterback to take off and run. And it really, a guy like Josh Allen makes it tough to play man defense.
Yeah.
Because in man defense, DBs, linebackers, their backs are to the line of scrimmage. So if Josh Allen takes off, he's going to get 5 yards before they know he actually did it. So you have to play more zone, and you have to just maintain that discipline. And most importantly, if you're going to try to contain him in the pocket, you need to get that interior pass rush, because I don't care if it's Josh Allen, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. No one likes that pocket being pushed back into their face, and especially a deep ball thrower like Josh Allen, who likes to really step into his throws mm-hmm. and follow through. It's a lot tougher if you're worried about that front leg, that plant leg getting hit, or you're worried about your throwing hand hitting the center or the guard's helmet as you're trying to push the ball down the field.
Teron, man, appreciate your insight as always. Thanks for being available for us, and enjoy your odd, awkward day off tomorrow. I'm sure we'll get an opportunity to watch football like we don't normally get to on Sunday. So I appreciate you, my friend, and enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, for sure, man. Appreciate it. You guys take care, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good, my friend. Teron Davenport of ESPN, one of the consummate gentlemen and pros in the business. We appreciate his insight as always. Quick timeout, other side. We've got Bruce Nolan coming on at noon. The Bruce exclusive. Last time I put out my schedule for who my guests were, multiple people yelled at me that Bruce wasn't on. So I guess Bruce is just going to have a permanent section on the show and segment on the show moving forward. So Bruce Nolan of Buffalo Rumbling is going to be coming up at the 12 o'clock hour on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR. I am actually, before we go to break again, I'm actually very happy that young TikTokers have finally figured out who Fleetwood Mac is. You know, like, I've been a Fleetwood Mac fan my whole life, since I was young. My dad was a Fleetwood Mac fan, so, like, I just, big Mick Fleetwood fan. That's my favorite Triple D episode. I'm just happy that it's back to number one on the Billboard charts.
Listen, undeniable banger.
I mean, right, and we didn't even get to... Listen, if we want to just play rumors for the rest of the show, I don't think anyone would care.
It's a big week for Zoomers. They're probably being introduced to drugs because of their look being introduced to Fleetwood Mac.
Uh-huh.
So some huge energy probably going to be radiating out of Zoomers
TikTok
soon.
Big TikTok energy
yep.
coming up the next, you know, 8 to 12 weeks or so as we head into the winter, as they really start to dig in on Fleetwood Mac. So, quick timeout. Other side, we will talk to Bruce Nolan, get his thoughts on Fleetwood Mac. That's coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.